always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, it's vacation, so I don't know really what day it is. I think it's Tuesday. Tuesday evening, afternoon here on the West Coast. I am recording from my little brother's bedroom. Because my son is taking a nap in my old room next door. I'm at my parents' house. I am streaming from my parents' house. It's like I'm a blogger in 2016. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about so long as the Wi-Fi holds up, which I'm already noticing it's not the way that I want it to be. But today on the show, we're going to be talking about, guess what? Jonathan Kuminga. And, we did get a little bit of new-ish news. That being that apparently Klay Thompson might be bought out and that he apparently might have some interest in being a Laker after spurning the Lakers in free agency a couple seasons ago. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll answer some questions, and then I will dip and head back out onto my vacation. As far as the plan for the rest of the week, I am traveling tomorrow. And it's a long travel day because of the time change and all of that stuff. So I don't think we'll have a show tomorrow. But the hope is that we will be, or that I'll be able to go live, or that, not the hope, I will be able to go live Thursday. And then I'll do a bonus show for you guys on Friday. And then we will continue with your regularly scheduled content starting that following Monday. So that's that. A quick reminder before we get to the rest of the show, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show via podcast in the morning, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. And, today's show is brought to you, as it always is, here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA, and you will get $150 worth of Prize Picks credit whenever you sign up. Use the promo code and win your first $5 lineup. All right. As JP248 is writing, go Lakers. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you haven't already. I appreciate that. What's up, Anthony? Mockman says, did you bump into Pelinka this week? I tried, guys. I went to Disneyland. I went to his home turf. I went to see what he was doing and what the chances might be that I could kind of get the ball rolling again to try to get this Kuminga thing sorted out, and now apparently a Klay Thompson thing sorted out. But no deal. He apparently is a select Disneyland card holder, and he has access to parts of the park that I do not, and he was hiding. Now, I don't know what he was doing yesterday, but I was there at Disneyland. I tried. I really wanted to get that thing done or do whatever I could to get that thing done, and it just didn't play out the way that I wanted it to. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the latest on Jonathan Kuminga as we enter day 533. So the latest on Kuminga is that there is no latest on Kuminga. It's the same bullshit. So we got, as far as updates or changes in the story or potential new suitors, it was funny on Discord around the time that LeBron signed with or was getting ready to sign with Philadelphia. And then after Mario Hezonja signed with Cleveland, I told people in the Lounge Discord, get ready for a new series of teams that Aaron Turner is going to try to convince everybody that Kuminga has as options. And lo and behold, I think since then we've heard that the Clippers might be interested. We've heard that the Minnesota Timberwolves might be interested. Chris Fedor, who covered the Cavs for, I think, The Athletic, said that it seems unlikely that the Cavs would continue to be interested in Kuminga. That was the kind of the thing that I, the reason that I told people, oh, get ready for a new bevy of teams. And yeah, it was it's played out exactly like that, right? We've heard that Minnesota might be interested. They have their taxpayer mid-level exception that they could use. Problem there is that they are up against the second apron or whatever apron that they are hard capped at, and cannot use that exception as things currently stand. We have the Clippers who might be interested, but they're also kind of focused on the Peyton Watson thing. Peyton Watson might be another source another segment here, because there's some interesting stuff about that dating back to the back to summer league. So maybe we'll talk about Peyton Watson here in a bit too. But yeah, the teams that are linked to him, like the cycle is really familiar, right? I've dealt with this plenty with agents, where they'll find a reporter who was willing to say, exactly what he is telling them without putting any extra thought into it, without pushing back on the things that would need to happen in order for that team to actually be interested or have actionable interest. Then you'll look at the facts and you'll look at the situation and you realize, wait, that doesn't make much sense, whether it's because of playing time, whether it's because cap situations, because of apron situations, whatever. And what it all kind of boils down to is that, like, Kuminga has two options still. He can go back to Atlanta for, some type of slightly better than the minimum type deal. He could sign with Milwaukee for a, 6 to 10-ish million dollar number. He could sign with the Lakers on the minimum, the Lakers and the Hawks could come to terms on some kind of sign and trade that would get Kuminga paid a little bit better. But this whole notion of, like, well, Kuminga's willing to wait till September, when at that point a $20 million offer is going to open up, it's like, okay, you could try. You could see how it goes, but I don't see that playing out that way. So, I still think things stand where they are. I've started to notice Lakers fans starting to get really kind of frustrated and starting to really do the whole, you know what, I'm sick of this. Just cut ties, Lakers. Just get out of this Kuminga business. See what the alternatives are. Problem with that is that there aren't any better alternatives. And what's the point? Like, all you do if you're the Lakers and you cut ties now before any decision has to be made, all you do then is basically give Kuminga to some other team at some number that is lower than Kuminga wants to be paid at. So where I do think there's a fair point to be made here is the concern that, by lowballing Kuminga to the extent that the entire league has, whoever gets him is going to be getting a frustrated Kuminga, maybe not as bought in version of Jonathan Kuminga. I feel like I should have a better background. Like, this background behind me just screams, sad college student background. Let's see, what backgrounds do I have? Visual effects. Let's go there. Let's see if we have any better backgrounds. Layouts. Is that it? Nope, not it. That's not it. Visual effects. No, I guess not. All right. Well, we're just raw dogging it with my little brother's sad bedroom look. But all right. So, as far as the situation and any changes or any updates or anything like that, there aren't any really right now. It's just a waiting game, and the Lakers have every reason to continue waiting. They aren't out on Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga, I guess, can continue waiting. and potentially piss off his suitors. I do get the concern that maybe he'll be frustrated and won't be fully bought into wherever he goes, and that he will kind of stat hunt, you know, for the sake of getting his next contract. The hope is he signs, fires Aaron Turner, and the Lakers would then, or whoever gets him, would then land an agent who better understands what is getting players paid in 2026, 2027. But I, you know, as that seems unlikely, we just kind of sit here and wait, and hopefully someday Jonathan Kuminga gets better. The Swiffer duster crazy. Yeah, there's nothing I could really do. Drip Show Shop, like, I just, my little brother is looks like a little brother's room, really. Some old trophies there in the background. Can you guys see those? See if I move over here, you guys can maybe see the trophies. See that? I think some of those might be mine. Maybe? I don't know. But anyway, that's the situation I find myself in. Jonathan Kuminga is probably in a nicer room than I am right now. But as far as employment situations, I feel like a lot of us have the upper hand right now. Christian Clark, who covers the Dallas Mavericks for The Athletic, provided an interesting tidbit the other day that linked Klay Thompson potentially to the Lakers. It sounds like Klay Thompson and his people are kind of nudging the Mavericks in the direction of a buyout. They would like to re-enter the free agent market, find himself a situation that he is more closely aligned with. And it makes sense, right? The Dallas Mavericks are obviously on the Cooper Flagg timeline, and Klay Thompson only has so many more years where he can compete for championships, and I think he would much rather, you know, go to a team like the Lakers, or I saw that the Heat were another team that might be interested in Klay Thompson, and that, you know, he could go to one of those other situations and go to a team that is maybe a little closer to championship contention right now than the Mavericks are going to be this season. Makes a lot of sense from that. It also makes sense as we sit here on August 4th that Masai Ujiri is going to say, well, you know, maybe eventually we'll get there. Maybe eventually we'll arrive at a buyout for you, Klay Thompson. But for the time being, maybe we'll work the phones and see what kind of trade opportunities that exist out there. And apparently the Heat and the Mavericks talked about some kind of Klay Thompson, Nikola Jovic type swap. Issue there for the Mavericks is that, like, Jovic's contract isn't really great, and Jovic's a fine-ish player. He's a very Miami Heat type player. Those Miami Heat type players, like, when they get away from Miami, i.e. Kendrick Nunn, i.e. Gabe Vincent, i.e. any number of other players, when they get away from that kind of Miami environment, they are no longer as productive, I guess is the word I could use. So a lot of teams have shown reluctance to trade for the Jovic's of the world. And in this case for Dallas, you know, you have a player in Klay Thompson who's still, like, relatively useful, obviously pretty far removed from his peak, but he's still fine. He can still shoot the shit out of the ball, that's for sure. And they have Klay Thompson, I believe, on an expiring contract. And so from them, they're saying, well, yeah, you might want to go to Miami, but Miami, if you want Klay Thompson, it's going to take more for us to take on Jovic's contract. And Miami doesn't have much more to offer. So Miami is waiting for a buyout. I could see why the Lakers are also interested in a buyout. They could use the additional shooting. I do have some real concerns about Klay Thompson defensively. That's been the precipitous drop off there for him. And it's why he fell from the starting lineup in Dallas. What's interesting with Clay specifically, obviously you have the familial ties back to the Lakers, where his dad, Michael, played for the Lakers and is their radio color commentator, and at least for the time being. They have those family ties back to the Lakers. Klay Thompson, apparently, according to Clark, owns a home in LA. That kind of tracks. That makes some sense, right? Go there, and you don't want to stay at mom and dad's if you're a multi-zillionaire pro. And then the other thing too is the Lakers were among the finalists for Klay Thompson a couple of years ago when he was a free agent. And the main reason he went to Dallas instead of the Lakers was because Dallas was offering a starting gig, a gig that he no longer holds, and I think a gig that he no longer expects. So I think from an expectation standpoint, the Lakers and Klay Thompson are a little bit closer now than they were a couple of years ago. He did go to Dallas in part to play with Luka. I've always been told it was much more a matter of Dallas being willing to start him, at least initially, and the Lakers not being willing to offer up that kind of playing time guarantee. But he did enjoy playing with Luka. I could see him continuing to enjoy playing with Luka. I don't know where the minutes necessarily come from for Klay Thompson, because you have Austin Reeves, you have Quentin Grimes, you even have Cam Carr at Thompson's position. So unless Thompson considers himself more of a 3/4 than a 2/3, or is just kind of straight up a 3, you know, then you're kind of talking about Luka's minutes potentially. So, you know, as far as fit goes, could be better, could be worse. As far as value goes, like, you add a player of Thompson's ilk and his ability to shoot the ball, on the minimum, there are worse outcomes of the offseason. If they do hold that kind of interest in Thompson, though, the Lakers would have to clear, at that point, 2 roster spots, because they, you know, similar situation as they have with Jonathan Kuminga, where they are already at 16 guaranteed contracts, you know, on their books right now. Then you move up to 17. Then you have the Kuminga situation, which moves you as high as 18. You have the potential interest in a kind of buy low big, you know, project big. That makes this, you know, kind of tricky there. Now you're at 19, you know, contracts, guaranteed contracts that the Lakers are at. That's a lot of work to get back down to 15. So if they do have this kind of interest in Klay Thompson, I would imagine this would happen after the Kuminga thing is sorted out, and the Lakers have a better idea of how many guaranteed contracts they have after Kuminga is either signed or not signed. I would imagine if Kuminga doesn't come, then I think Klay Thompson becomes a little bit more realistic. And then I've always thought that this, like, extra big that they've talked about felt like more of a two-way contract type signing. But if you open up another roster spot and maybe Nick Richards is available, then maybe that's the direction that you go in there. But the Klay Thompson thing is interesting. We'll see how it plays out. I find myself fairly apathetic. I see the benefits of it. I have some questions about the fit across this roster, and what Klay Thompson's own expectations might be. I think Miami makes a lot more sense for him because of how desperate for shooters that they are. But if he wants to be in LA and Miami is on the full other side of the country, then I could see why, you know, he would continue to see what the deal is with the Lakers. But first and foremost, you need him to be bought out. And that apparently is something, according to my buddy Jake Fisher, he is reporting that Dallas is kind of reluctant to buy out Klay Thompson, and that they're thinking there is that, you know, well, if Miami or LA are desperate enough to get this guy, then maybe we can squeeze them for an asset rather than just losing a relatively useful player for nothing. And honestly, like, you know, I saw Mark Stein obviously Jake Fisher's colleague there on the Stein line. Mark was kind of talking about how he was wondering why the free agent market has kind of stalled out the way that it has. And honestly, like when you look at what's going on here with Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks, this I think is kind of an encapsulation of why things have stalled out, where so many teams, you know, you get to August and it used to be you would just get players off your books or off your roster and you give them enough time to go out and find themselves a better situation. Well, now you have a whole lot of front office executives who are saying, like, what's the rush? And so, you know, you'll have players who would typically be bought out remaining on teams' books just to see if that team can maybe get something in, you know, in trading that player away. And what that leads to is not only are teams kind of waiting for current free agents, the Jonathan Kumingas of the world, to sign with another team, but you also have teams kind of looking at other rosters and other teams' books being like, that guy might get bought out, that guy fits here, why would we go and use the roster spot or guaranteed roster on a player who maybe doesn't fit as well as a player who might become available before the start of next season? And now you have an entire market that is just kind of everybody staring at each other wondering, like, what's the deal here? And it used to be you would get to, like, the last week of July and everybody would say, well, we all want to go on our vacations. Let's get as much or all of the work that we need to get done before the end of July. But now everybody's like, well, we can go on our vacations and just have a little bit of work waiting for us when we get back. And or we could just take our phones with us and we can have some of the conversations that we have with each other, like on the beach, I guess. And it's led to a market that is moved a lot more slowly than it has in years past. And to that I say, get your work done before you go on vacation, he says while he records a podcast episode from vacation. So the next bit of speculation and rumors and stuff like that, that I do think at this point is worth kind of pointing out, is this Watson situation. This is another thing, too, where a lot of restricted free agents are a lot more serious about playing under the qualifying offer now than they have been in years past because of the big payday that could come on the other side of that qualifying offer. You have a lot of teams that are taking a lot more hardline stances on negotiation with their restricted free agents. It just leads to a really ugly kind of situation, and everybody has another reason to sit around and watch each other think, I guess. But this Peyton Watson thing is interesting, where Denver is clearly up against it from a tax standpoint, from a second apron standpoint. They would like to bring back Watson, and they would like to trade Christian Brown. But the problem is that, like, now everybody knows that they would rather trade Christian Brown and they would prefer to keep Cam Johnson. And so everybody's more interested in Cam Johnson. And those trade negotiations have gone the way that trade negotiations typically go in August, which is incredibly slowly. But the one thing I can say that I heard a lot of talk about was the Lakers' interest in Peyton Watson. And you know, obviously there was that viral moment where Rob Pelinka was talking to Watson there on the court in Las Vegas. You had all of the Lakers, and he said hi to all of the Lakers. The Lakers love themselves some Peyton Watson, and I think they would love nothing more than to see Watson sign at the qualifying offer, and then the Lakers would proceed to apply all kinds of pressure over the course of the season to try to convince the Nuggets to trade Watson either to them or somewhere else, you know, before they lose him for nothing. And so if Watson does, you know, play this season on the qualifying offer, I would go ahead and predict that eventually there would be a bevy of Watson to
LA rumors. I guess back to LA rumors, seeing as he played at UCLA. The Lakers also obviously like to get involved with Denver in negotiations for Cam Johnson. I'm a little skeptical of that because of how things played out with OKC, where they had those contracts that they knew that they had to get off of their books. And rather than send them to, say, LA, they sent them all east so that they wouldn't have to play those guys until the NBA Finals. And I think that would be kind of the playbook that the Denver Nuggets would be operating under as well. And I find it really unlikely that Cam Johnson is any way available to the Lakers. But that said, one thing I heard plenty of, again, at Summer League was how much Rob Pelinka specifically likes Watson's game. He was really impressed by that stretch where Watson had to take on a little bit more, a more creative role for the Denver Nuggets. Obviously would have preferred to seen him finish the season healthy after carrying that responsibility. The injury concerns, I think, are real enough that they're kind of annoying. I do think that this Watson thing has legs. The Lakers, I think, had they not given up both first-round picks and both pick swaps that they gave up to Utah to land Walker Kessler, I think the Lakers would be in trade negotiations right now with Denver for Watson, using the other first-rounder that they wouldn't have used in this hypothetical scenario. Seeing as they did use both of those picks, and given how few assets they have to work with, the Lakers' best chance at Watson is waiting to see what kind of contract he signs, hoping that it's a qualifying offer. And then if it is the qualifying offer, sending an obscene amount of emails to the Nuggets over the course of the season to try to figure out a way to land Watson, during the season, with the threat being they would just land Watson after this 1 year, when at that point he would be a unrestricted free agent. Interesting stuff going on there. So the next and final thing that we need to talk about is whatever you guys want to talk about. So let's go back through some of the chat here, see if we have any supers to start off. Nope, we do not. Let's see if you guys have any questions. Moneyball Nola. So it's basically everyone in a holding pattern, a staring contest. Here is a dramatic recreation of the entire league right now. Scene. Like that's where we're at. Like it's just an entire league that is at varying levels of vacation. They are at varying levels of interest in players who are currently available. There is varying levels of communication around the league right now about some of these players who are either currently available or might become available over the course of the season. It's just everybody is just kind of sitting here waiting, and that avalanche of activity that was supposed to come after LeBron James signed has not taken place. And I guess it's somewhat goodish news in that I can go live in August. That normally isn't really an option. It's kind of annoying news in that we're all just kind of sitting here waiting to see what all of these teams will actually look like when they get together for training camp in a few weeks or so. Uh, Let's see. Should the Lakers have saved money and offered Watson $22 to $23 million? This is from Basketball Sports Energy. Should the Lakers have saved money and offered Watson $22 to $23 million since Denver is only offering $16 to $18 million right now? I mean, I guess in this scenario, you are not signing Mamu. And I guess not signing Grimes right away, right? Because you would have renounced LeBron, you would have renounced Rui, you would have opened up as much cap space as you had. You signed Walker Kessler to 30-ish or 32-ish, whatever the number is. And at that point, you would have about 28 left over. So you just got to ask yourself, like, is Peyton Watson worth Quentin Grimes and Mamu? I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that. I would probably say no. You know, and then, you know, given that they signed, like maybe you do that with Watson and you see if Grimes is interested in maybe a lower number, or you see if, I guess you technically could have had Watson and Mamu, because Mamu signed for a little bit less than Grimes did. But the problem there, though, is that, like, if you sign Watson to that deal and then Denver decides to match and you don't get Cam Johnson out of the deal, and then while you're waiting for Watson, while you're waiting for Denver to make a decision on Watson, remember, we just saw them match, obviously different caliber of player, but the Spencer Jones, I think that situation there, I'm on vacation. I think it's Spencer Jones, but they wound up matching Spencer Jones, even though it put him into a tougher financial spot, Denver did. And so, but if you sign that offer sheet for Watson and then you lose him because Denver just chooses to match, and then if you aren't able to figure out a trade because you traded everything that you did for Walker Kessler, if you can't figure out a trade for Cam Johnson, and then in the meantime, you use Quentin Grimes and Mamu while you were waiting, then like you're just kind of screwed at that point. So this is kind of the leverage that, you know, the teams have in restricted free agency. It completely dries out markets. And a lot of teams are just really reluctant to sign these offer sheets unless you do what the Lakers did and essentially figure out a trade that that Utah was okay enough with to forego the 48-hour waiting period. So, I get the question. I understand it. I don't think it's something that the Lakers would have ever done. But given how this is playing out, you know, I understand where that question is coming from. It's like, you know, maybe you could add him. I just find it kind of hard to believe that he ever, like, that the Lakers would have risked all of that given the way that their roster came together. All right. Let's see. Mockman is asking, what about Durin? Well, Durin finds himself in a similar spot that Kuminga kind of finds himself in, where all of the suitors have used all of their money, and now he's just kind of hoping that Denver meets his asking price. Because reasons, I guess. You know, it's turned into another staring contest that I think eventually will result in either Durin signing a contract he isn't happy about, or Durin playing the season out on the qualifying offer. And this is where the Lakers were in kind of like an annoying spot, because, like, I guess if you're the Lakers and you want to play out this season or this offseason as Machiavellian as you possibly could. I think both the Pistons and the Utah Jazz wanted their center back, right? Utah wanted Kessler back. Detroit wants Duren back. Neither of those parties want their player back at the number that their player was expecting to get heading into restricted free agency. And so if you're the Lakers, one thing that like one way that they could have played this out was to basically just wait for one of those guys to either go elsewhere or go back to their teams and then be the only other option that that player has instead of just returning back to their team. The problem that they would run into there, kind of like what you would run into with the Peyton Watson thing, is if you do that and you wait for Walker Kessler to go back to Utah, or you wait for Jalen Duren to go back to Detroit, and then you make an offer to Walker Kessler or Jalen Duren that their respective team just matches, now you're just shit out of luck. And you go into next season with DeAndre Ayton as your starting center again. And that was something the Lakers did not want to risk. And Rob Pelinka specifically knew that his job was riding on. And that's something that I've continued to say. I know it sounds cynical of me, but Rob knew that his job was riding on, or his job security was riding on, the caliber of center that he got Luka. And so every person I've talked to around the NBA has said some version of Danny Ainge knew that, took advantage of it, and got a bit of an overpay from Pelinka, relatively speaking, to the number of assets that Pelinka had going into the summer. And so, like, what the Lakers basically did was they basically said, you know what? We know we need one of these centers. We know we needed to kind of figure this out, you know, going into the season. Let's just pay whatever we have to pay for Walker Kessler. Yeah, it might be a little bit more, relatively speaking, than we would like. Yes, it leaves us a little thin on the other side of it. But most importantly to Rob Pelinka, it keeps him employed. And second most importantly to Rob Pelinka, you know, it makes the Lakers better next year. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. Like, we were talking in the Discord earlier today about how, you know, I kind of go back and forth on this offseason. And the reason that I find myself going back and forth as frequently as I do about this offseason is because there are so many gambles that the Lakers basically made this summer, where it's like, all right, well, what if Walker Kessler isn't, like, doesn't play up to the level that the Lakers need him to play up to? Well, then you're screwed. Okay. What if Austin Reeves doesn't play up to the level that the Lakers think he can play up to on his new max contract? Well, then you're kind of screwed. Okay. What if Quentin Grimes is not quite ready to be an every night starter, 30, you know, ish minute a night player deep into the playoffs? Well, then you're screwed. And it's just like question after question after question where the pivot point just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, or they don't really have very many pivot points or pivot options. And that makes me nervous. But it's also kind of the situation that you put yourself in when you bank, as you know, to the extent that the Lakers did, on cap space and, you know, utilizing that cap space to sign a restricted free agent or to sign free agents, right? Like, the Lakers, because they use cap space and picks on Walker Kessler, left themselves kind of thin on the other ways that you could utilize cap space. And I think also because of the calculation that the Lakers made, or miscalculation that the Lakers made, that, well, maybe we'll just take advantage of the cap situations that some of these teams will find themselves in. Well, like, it didn't happen. So But I still think this is a really interesting roster. I'm still really interested and fascinated by how this season might play out. And at the end of the day, like, I'm talking about this team in an interested fashion on August 4th while I'm on vacation. Like, that kind of informs me. Like, the way that this week played out, I recorded the Luca episode and I recorded the Austin episode before I left for vacation, right? Had those kind of banked and ready to go. And in, like, not talking on the air live to you guys about the Lakers, I've, like, realized how much I missed talking about the Lakers. And like, that tells me that at least on some level, like, this team has my interest peaked. And then once we see this team not just be a theory, but also be a practical basketball team, like, then it might go from you have my interest to, okay, maybe we got something here. And we'll see how that kind of plays out. But it is, like, this offseason was a series of gambles. There aren't very many directions that the Lakers can go in if this season doesn't, or those gambles don't pay off. But at the end of the day, like, you could probably say the same about most of the moves that teams make across the NBA. Like, because everybody is so apron strapped and cap strapped and asset strapped and just kind of generally conservative in this new CBA, everybody has to try to buy low and maybe stretch themselves a little bit more than they would like to for some kind of underrated value or unearthed value. In that respect, maybe I could be a little less hard on the Lakers for doing what a lot of these teams have had to do anyway. So, yeah. Also, yeah, you're right. Like, Luka's pretty damn good. Oh, I see. Simply Orange had said, Dalton is the best shooter on the team right now, right? Mockman replied, Luka. The problem with Dalton is that he's not smart enough to get a shot off, like, you know, within the confines of a set play that the Lakers run. Like, he is incapable of remembering plays, and thus that makes it difficult for him to be as effective a shooter as he is, just like in terms of raw talent. But no, I would probably say that Luka, in terms of just practicality, is better at shooting than Dalton is. All right, let's go ahead and do the wrap up stuff. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I apologize if this was a really choppy feed because of my parents' Wi-Fi. Like I said, the plan is to travel tomorrow, go live again Thursday, go live again Friday, and then be back to your regularly scheduled Monday through Friday recordings next week. A reminder, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, and turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube, so you get those notifications for the show. And then if you're listening to the show, it's podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts. Also, today's show is brought to you in YouTube form, or here on YouTube, by PrizePicks. Use that promo code HMA and win your first $5 PrizePicks lineup, and you will get $150 worth of PrizePicks lineups. Have a good rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you on Thursday, unless something breaks. Then I'll talk to you then.